This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening, you're with Lee Chui Lin. This is Inside Story. Tonight, we're talking about loan sharks preying on businesses that have been affected by the pandemic. First, we find out more about this issue and how prevalent it is. Then we talk about the laws that govern money lending and what else we need. Finally, advice for how to handle and manage debt and loans. So tell us, what do you think needs to be done about loan sharks? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08, and today we are talking about, in some ways, I think, a sort of logical extension of the kinds of struggles that we've been seeing businesses and people face through the course of the pandemic. And that is how to service and repay loans, how to manage debt, and why ultimately it is leaving some people vulnerable to loan sharks. Because as we know, the COVID-19 pandemic has severely affected business owners, and some are being forced or finding themselves turning to loan sharks in order to get assistance. And this essentially happens when they run out of capital, which essentially happens because of the continuous lockdowns that we've been seeing throughout the pandemic, with many people being unable to earn a living, many people being unable to open up for business at all. So if we look at what's being said, Andy Liu, who's the head of Gerakan's Public Service and Complaints Bureau, had a perspective to share, saying that the majority of borrowers were actually women, and many came from the beauty industry, such as facial centers and hairstylists. And this is because, as mentioned, this is one particularly hard hit sector. They weren't allowed to operate during the lockdowns. They're not considered essential. And that resulted in a cash flow issue. And this is just one perspective, right? This is just one complaints bureau. And when I imagine, or when I think about all the other complaints bureaus and how perhaps what it would look like if we were to centralize it, and also considering the amount of people who simply don't even come forward, I think that gives a sense that of how difficult a problem it is to even understand the scope of, much less address. And if we look at how this happens, I think firstly, there's the difficulty in securing loans. There's the difficulty that some people have had in terms of negotiating different repayment terms when they've been struggling, and that leads them to money lenders. There's also sometimes been the difficulty in discerning licensed and unlicensed money lenders. And Bank Negara has actually said that they don't issue money lending licenses, and that money lending as a business is governed under the Money Lenders Act 1951, which is administered by the Ministry of Urban Wellbeing, Housing and Local Government. And that's actually something that we want to address later on, because this issue of the legality of it, and I think the clue there is actually in the year of that act. The Money Lenders Act 1951 gives you a sense of when it was that that act was first enacted, but also, therefore, perhaps how long it's been since it's been changed or adapted to accommodate what's actually going on right now. And I don't know. I think that this is a very, very multifaceted issue. There are issues around enforcement. There are issues around an ecosystem in the first place, which leaves people vulnerable to loan sharks. There's issue with the law in terms of being clear about what this is, what it covers, and therefore what is illegal. And that's some of what we hope to cover in this hour. But in the meantime, we'd like to know your thoughts. Firstly, I mean, is this something that you have experienced or someone you know has experienced? And what do you think needs to be done when it comes to loan sharks? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to be speaking with Datuk Nazim Johan, Chief Activist of the Malaysian Muslim Consumers Association. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bruce Freddie Morrissey, BFM 89.9.
It's 6:14 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn. Our focus today is on loan sharks, or alongs perhaps, better known here, who have been preying on businesses that have been rendered vulnerable, really, by the pandemic and more specifically by the lockdowns. And so we are about to find out more about the issue and how prevalent it is. And we'd like to hear from you. I mean, is this something that you're familiar with? Perhaps someone you know is familiar with? And what do you think needs to be done to address this? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Datuk Nazim Johan, Chief Activist of the Malaysian Muslim Consumers Association. Datuk Nazim, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for inviting.
So how have you seen loan sharks take advantage of business owners who have been struggling with the pandemic?
Well, to cheat, to oppress is their job. It's their nature, the nature of their job. And of course, to find opportunity like this, you know, when people are also oppressed and disturbed, that is the best time to exercise their agenda. So the only thing that we can do here is one, the borrower must have some knowledge of what's happening around, and then the authorities must do their part. Unfortunately, in most of the cases, the authorities are not doing their part, and then of course the consumers are just following, you know, what us or pressured on them. They just ikut lah. So that is the thing that we are facing now.
Are there different types of loan sharks?
You mean to say, okay, put it this way. You have a licensed moneylender. Mm-hmm. They are also loan shark. They are also moneylenders in most of the time. Because by specification, so to speak, this loan shark, they must have, money lender must have license. Okay, number one. And they cannot charge more than 12% a year. But what is happening around here is normally they will charge 10% a month and they didn't have license, or license are sort of are used by the unlicensed business moneylender operators. That's how normally things are happening on the ground.
So do individuals and business owners often know that they're actually engaging with an along or with a loan shark? Or are they misled into thinking that they're dealing with someone who does have a license?
Actually, what's happening is that this to most of the unsuspecting borrower of license from a licensed money lender, they will charge. They have license. They will charge about maybe 10% a month. And unfortunately, the borrowers, because of their desperation, they will just say yeah, and then they end up become victim of the situation. And this is happening, like, you know, every other time. And of course, for those who hasn't got license, who just so-called use the license of some other money lenders, normally they can pay 10% a week or so. So these are the things that are happening on the ground.
And is there any way to determine who really is, who really does hold that license, you know, when, even if they show it to you?
No, the license. You see, by right, you know, money lenders can only loan money from their premises. Mm. They cannot go out and you know, to go to the ground and or to go to the house to give money. No. These are if they are licensed. But if they are not licensed, they don't care. You know, but even those licensed, when they go, normally they can also disguise as other company. And these people, they when they go, they say, you know, this is, you know, when these people want to borrow, they don't care anymore. As far as they're concerned, they need the money. So they don't even look, they don't check, you know, because those people in desperate situation, they do very little checking. In fact, mostly no checking at all.
So talk to us about what kinds of repayment terms borrowers find themselves trapped in once they do, engage in these loans.
Oh, terrible. On record sometime in these borrowers, you know, they borrow 300, 400, they end up paying, 10,000, 15,000 or so.
And how often do they then have to deal with threats and scare tactics?
Oh, every other day. Because these people are desperate, and then they don't have legal, even those have legal background also, they also just follow. It's desperate. The word is desperation. So they don't care.
So what avenues then do people have if they're continuing to face this harassment?
They can report to the police, but sometimes the police will tell them, you borrow, you pay. Sometimes, or most of the time, they are linked or protected at times. Not all the time, but sometimes that's happening.
So, Dr. Nazim, maybe you can also talk to us about what work you do in this area then. You know, when you hear people coming to you with these stories, what happens next?
We negotiate on behalf of these people. We call the along and say, come, okay, these people want to settle. What is the minimum? You shouldn't take the advantage because you have made your money or whatever. And normally these people, these along, they listen, Because they run the risk of not getting either they get small money or no money. Because the minute it comes to us, then this thing can grow big. And these people, they are clever, so they don't want to have a new splash all over. They don't want to work under that environment. So they prefer to settle. Once they know that, we are in there, and normally we are very serious. We don't take advantage of them, and they also, we can be their friend, but we will not take any of their money. So when we don't take money, they have, they are uneasy or they feel difficult to deal with us, to counting with us. So normally they follow. Otherwise, we tell them, okay, never mind. We will. What shall I say? We will viral your name or your case or whatever. So that part, they are a bit careful.
And what kind of education and awareness work are you conducting among the community? Because as you say, people are desperate,
Mm-mm. Yeah, we are trying to do a lot of things, but sometimes, perhaps, or maybe during the better times, they may listen, but this kind of timing, when, you need to have food on the table, you need to pay for your house rent, and you're so desperate. The people don't care about tomorrow, just today, we need to solve today's problem. So they don't normally listen so much, unless, this alone come and start throwing pain on their house and things like that.
So considering how sensitive it can be to talk about money, to talk about owing money, do we have a sense of how many people are actually affected by this?
Oh, many. That one, you got to visit our place and see, how people come and whatever. The issue is, to me, is pretty simple, at times, although these people charge crazily on this kind of thing, they don't have choice. They say, at least let's take the money first. The rest, we solve the problem later.
So
we solve the problem later, and that's what's happening.
With that mindset then, we come back to this issue, right? Considering how tricky that is there a way to tackle the root of the issue?
Actually, if the agencies, the government or the bank, function the way it should, then maybe, we can solve at least, at that end alone, we solve 50% of the problem. Because there's nowhere to borrow. Even religious institutions also sometimes, $300 also they cannot come up with. So what do you expect? These people are desperate. So they need money, We need to have agencies, organizations that are able to help to solve. And of course, we need to change their mentality or mindset of you know, to have responsibility, to learn responsibility. Unfortunately, sometimes most of us are not that way inclined, you know. Sometimes, I mean, we can understand also this problem when they borrow money, they also don't pay because we have not been trained, you know, the way we should. So the training is very, it's very negative, lah. The training, you know, the training is that we have now, you pay people late. In the training is not to pay as early as possible. So some of these business, small business, they've got no choice. You know, they borrow, they have got to pay. If they don't pay, how do they want to, if we pay late, they cannot roll the money. And then they've got to resort to along.
So what kinds of structures would you like to see come out from the government, from institutions to try and mitigate this issue?
Yeah, they have got to be very serious. They have got to make sure, you know, the training is one and the availability of the money is also there. There's no, you can be best trained, but if there's no money, no availability, what do you do? They don't have access. And then we see toxicities and everything, banks and whatnot, you know. We are normally, you know, we end up, you know, I mean, borrowing at the end of the day, we end up borrowing because there's no other choice.
So, Dato, how can people get in touch with you and your organization?
Our hotline is 019-359-1000.
Thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Pleasure.
That was Datuk Nazim Johan, chief activist of the Malaysian Muslim Consumers Association, giving us some insight really into this issue of loan sharks or alongs here in Malaysia. We're talking about this because there was a story in the Malaysian Insight which found that increasingly, and I think this is not really surprising to anybody, that loan sharks are preying on businesses that have become vulnerable because of the pandemic. And so in light of this being a worsening issue, we wanted to talk about it. Tell us, is this something that you or someone you know has experienced, is familiar with? What do you think needs to be done to address this? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And just to say again that if you would like to get in touch with the Malaysian Muslim Consumers Association, if you require assistance, that hotline number is 019-359-1000. Again, 019-359-1000. So we do have this message here from Lam, who says, the public can get in contact with loan sharks very easily. Their contact numbers are boldly printed on banners hung all over. Surely those tasked with arresting these alongs can find them if they have the motivation. I believe that corruption is the main cause of the continuation of the scourge in society. And I think that's something actually that our guest, Datuk Nazim, raised as well in our chat. But the other point that you raised, Lam, that I think is interesting is accessibility. So as you say, the public can get in contact with loan sharks very easily. And there is a very on-the-ground kind of approach, right? The numbers are plastered up where you can see them. They're plastered in housing areas. They're plastered near the kedais, near everything. And when you compare and contrast that to perhaps the hoops that some people feel that they have to jump through or the lack of access to financial institutions, I think some of the issues there do become quite clear. Why it's so hard to, or why it is maybe appealing, why it feels like this is a good option. So that's definitely one facet of it. Keep those thoughts coming. We're talking today about loan sharks or alongs. We'd like to know what you think needs to be done about this issue, how it can be addressed. If you have any experiences you'd like to share as well, you can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After the 6:30 news, we are going to be talking about the law and what exactly it says about money lending, whether or not it covers enough ground, what more needs to be done. So that will be coming your way. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It's just about 6:38 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn. Today we are talking about loan sharks or alongs, preying on businesses that have become pretty vulnerable because of the pandemic. And this is something that was reported on the Malaysian Insight. And earlier on we heard about how prevalent this issue is. Now we want to really hone in and look at the laws that govern it, or perhaps that don't address it in some instances. So we'd like to hear from you. What do you think needs to be done on this issue of loan sharks or of alongs? And is this something that or anyone you know, is it something you have any familiarity with at all? Any experiences you want to share? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So to talk about the legal aspect, we have, of course, a lawyer. Joining us now is lawyer Kaw Vion Zu. Vion Zu, thank you so much for joining us. Okay, so let's start with this. What has enabled, you think, the loan shark industry to flourish in our country?
So I think just like any other things else in this world, I think demands create supply. Okay, especially when economy, when the recovery hasn't trickled down to the low income nation. Okay, and many middle class nation now are living paycheck to paycheck. Okay, and the loss of jobs and livelihood brought about by COVID-19 pandemic, meaning there's a lot of prey in the water. Okay, that's why alone and everywhere now.
And what do we know about the system in which they operate?
Okay, the system that they operate, I think, to put it bluntly, is that the loan sharks operate where our system fails. Okay, where our system fails, when people have no enough money, you know, to live day to day, put food on the table, when single mother has no money to pay the rent. Okay, that's where the loan shark thrive. Okay, interesting to note is that today the loan sharks have gone public, okay, and even corporate. They are so easy to find now. Along are not becoming bolder, and see, they are blatantly challenging authorities. They probably explain why their stickers, okay, you know, the stickers, poster and banners are everywhere, getting bigger and more striking, appearing everywhere, on lampposts, on traffic lights, trees, walls, new banks, and on vacant shop lots. And more so, now, you know, we all know that the Along have even hopped on to digital bandwagon. Okay, they even send you messages through WhatsApp, WeChat, okay, with some even labeling themselves as licensed or digital money lenders, operating as syndicate. You know, they lure victims with flyers, sticker, and social media, promising easy fun. Okay, that's why they prey on those who are in need of fast cash. Okay, this is the system that make them thrive in modern world today.
So talk to us about the laws around illegal and licensed money lending. All I could see was the Money Lending Act 1951. Is that it?
Yeah, more than that. I think Malaysia has, of course, the Money Lending Act 1951. We also have Money Lenders Control and Licensing Regulations 2003 and Money Lenders Compounding Offences Regulation 2003. The penalty for those who run an unlicensed money lending business is regulation 1 million fine. Okay. And the law also prohibits licensed and unlicensed money lenders from employing an agent to invite a person to borrow money. Simply put, strict provisions are in place. Okay. We are not short of our law to tackle that problem.
Okay. So if we're not short on laws, then let's talk about enforcement.
Yeah. Okay, of course, with all these strict laws in place, why then, a lot of people ask, are Along allowed to run full of law? Okay, simply put, it's the lack of enforcement. Okay, there must be an organized crackdown by the police working together with other authorities, especially the local authorities, to net loan sharks and bring them to hook. Effective enforcement is in short supply.
So why might it ultimately prove difficult to nab a loan shark? Are there loopholes? Are there issues that perhaps we need to be aware of?
Oh, okay. I think as we all know, loan shark is not the source of it. It's a symptom of the whole problem. You know, it's just like in Malaysia. In Malaysia is like other countries. Loan shark are part of the criminal fraternity, you know, and operate underground. Therefore, to effectively address this phenomenon, other unlawful activities such as gambling, drug trafficking, prostitution, and smuggling must be drastically controlled and regulated, if not eradicated. Okay, I think we can't solve loan shark problem without solving the bigger problem.
And what else do you think would need to, you mentioned enforcement being a key problem here. What else do we need to better address it?
I think as I explained to you just now, it's more than money lending business itself. Eh? So that's why we need to tackle the bigger problem, looking at the bigger picture. Therefore, there are certain laws that can be evoked, you know, to penalize those involved in the business of illegal money lending. They consist of Money Lenders Act, of course, and the Anti-Money Laundering Act, 2001. I think this is quite scary act. Huh? Everybody, and then mentioned of it, people will be, you know. This allowed for the regulations of legal and registered money lending entities, as the relevant authorities are able to track down and issue their warning. Okay, they would be inclined to conform rather than risk punishing the reputation of the company if they are licensed money lending company. Therefore, those who trade in illegal money lending, if the money lent is sourced from unlawful activities and compounded with element of violence in their treatment of borrowers who default, other existing law would then apply. For instance, the Dangerous Drug Act, 1952, the Common Gaming House Act, 1953, and of course, the Penal Code. Okay.
And if we look aside from legal avenues, I think you've made it quite clear that this is a systemic problem, right? It's not really exclusive to this issue of money. Are there other measures that could help to curb the proliferation of loan sharks and ahlongs?
Yeah, I think from the outset, I already mentioned that demand creates supply. So I think to solve this problem, I think the best way is to tackle the demand side. Okay, because remember, in short, the loan sharking has been around for many, many years, okay, and probably will remain so. But curtail it, we must, in this regard, I think I would suggest a commission or inquiry, okay, should be set up to study the whole problem, okay, the bigger picture, or at the very least, a parliamentary committee to investigate and gather a comprehensive picture from all sides of the professional, social, economic, and even political spectrum. Okay, then for instance, I think it's high time for a more concrete suggestion. I think it's high time a Fair Contract Act is enacted to protect the public, meaning not from alone, not protecting them from alone, but also from the big financial institutions. Okay, and put in place a policy so that they will not drive, you know, they will not drive the desperate into the arm of alone. I think that would be to tackle the demand side of the problem.
Vyonsu, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
That was lawyer Kaw Vyonsu talking to us about not just the legality of it, really, but what we have in place to address this issue and what we might need to do, especially on the issue of enforcement and addressing the point about demand, I think, being quite crucial. So we're talking today about loan sharks. We'd like to know, basically, is this something that you're familiar with, you have experience with it, that you'd like to share, and also what you think needs to be done to tackle it? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to be getting some advice, really, on avenues that business owners can explore if they find themselves in the situation. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Building Fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:48 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn. Our focus today is on ahlongs, targeting businesses who find themselves vulnerable because of the pandemic, and really looking at it as a holistic issue. We heard earlier about the prevalence of it. Then we talked about the laws that surround it. And we've also been asking you, essentially, what do you think needs to be done to try and address this issue? That number to call is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, we are about to talk about avenues that business owners and people in general can explore. Before that, though, we do have some messages that have come in. So Alberto says, On this issue, I reckon that their leverage also resides in the isolation that victims feel. If coordinated action could be taken, for example, if 10,000 law enforcement personnel were to apply for a loan from unlicensed moneylenders and refuse to pay, their collective action would bankrupt moneylenders. I know how simplistic it sounds, but it would work. There is no way that they have enough manpower to harass so many people who can Malawan, not just normal citizens. And Alberto, I think that you definitely hit you're definitely striking an important point about isolation, about stigma, really about how problematic it can be, right? When you face financial struggles and you don't feel that you can talk about it, or you don't feel that people know about it, and therefore the difficulty actually in addressing that. We also have this from Jonathan, giving, I think, some insight into this issue of infrastructure, how it works. So Jonathan says, licensed money lenders are allowed to charge a maximum rate of 18% per annum with collateral, whereas Along's charge between 2-5% upfront without any collateral. So you see that petty hawkers or hard-pressed small business stall owners would go the way of the Along to tide them over. Repayment is weekly, monthly, desperate gamblers are willing to borrow and roll over whatever they can, maybe 3 days or a week. Sometimes even their cars or lorries are used as loan security until the loan is repaid. And they used electricity or water bill addresses as proof of this to Alongs. So I think that, again, is down to this issue of accessibility that we were talking about, right? And of demand that we just heard Vyonzu raise. Because if people are desperate and they need money, then they are going to go the path that offers them those things. So now to find out a little bit more about other avenues that people can address, joining us is Lynette Lee, CEO of FPAM, the Financial Planning Association of Malaysia. Lynette, good to have you with us.
Thank you, and good to be here. Thank you, Lynn.
So we've kind of been circling this, but the stigma on this issue really is tremendous. What advice would you have for someone who is in debt and finding it hard to repay, and also finding it hard to talk about it and reach out?
Yes. I think some time back, I was on the same platform with Evelyn Sung, who's a psychologist. Mm-hmm. We spoke about the frame of mind, the desperation a person feels when they're infected, helplessness, panic, depression, loss of focus, and sometimes judgment. So to tell them to calm down and don't panic, I think that's quite pointless, because they don't listen to you. So the only thing you need to do is actually make sure that they get to the right help. For anyone listening out there who knows somebody who is in trouble and don't know what to do, I think the best person to call first thing is Befrienders. Because what Befrienders can do is it will help them to stabilize their emotions. And if I remember correctly, they will also refer them to AKPK. AKPK don't give out loans. What they will do is they will help you to renegotiate your loan, and then after that, settle for a repayment period, amount and period which is acceptable to all parties. The one that is, I think, worrying is the loan.
And I think, okay, so you mentioned there, before we get into the issue of Alongs, you mentioned there payment restructuring, renegotiating. What sort of restructuring can banks and financial institutions actually provide?
Well, I would say that if you look at the bank generally, the banks also do not want to have their NPLs increase. They also want to keep their customers. So what they will do is they will look at the person's situation and then assess and see whether they can give them a moratorium, maybe a tailor-made moratorium, and how the repayment is going to be. But sometimes, like I said, if that doesn't work, then they may want to go to AKPK for help. So these are some of the things that they can do for starters. Go to your bank first, you know. Unless your bank turns you down, then you go to AKPK.
And what should people look out for when they are thinking about borrowing funds?
What is too good to be true is too good to be true, and just be careful, just like any scam. I have heard stories of people who are approached by people who claim that they are licensed money lenders. Yes, there are licensed money lenders out there, but there's also a lot of scammers pretending to be one, offering you loans. And then after that, once you're in, you find that you're caught and the interest rate is high, you can't seem to pay back. Every time you think you've paid back, but actually there's more money that you owe. So before you jump in and sign the dotted line, you need to ask them what is the terms and conditions. If you are already stressed out and think that you don't think that you can focus or think straight enough, better to call a friend, or if you have a financial professional with you, like a licensed financial planner, get them, talk to them first. Or better still, bring them along, because then they can see things that you don't see. Because when one is in the state where you are owing money, your first thing on your mind constantly is, how can I repay the loan and not go into bankruptcy? So when somebody comes and with you and listens, then they will tell you, hey, you know, this is not right. You know, the way the interest is being structured, the repayment is not right. Then you need to step out. That's the best thing you can do for yourself. And if you're not sure, don't sign anything. Seek professional help before you actually take action. That's the most important thing. And there are other avenues to get money, to raise funds. Can I go into those?
Yes, please do.
Okay. So before you get to the point where you know, it's like almost a point of no return, because if I remember correctly, there's a temporary measure for reducing the impact of coronavirus disease in 2019, Act 2020. They have raised the amount from 50,000 to 100,000, and it was supposed to be enforced until August 2021, and it will continue to be so. So before you hit the 100,000, it's best for you to start looking for alternative. Like I said, if you go to the bank, if the bank can loan you, fine. If the bank cannot loan you, then the next thing you need to ask is, where else can you go? So there are two avenues here. For people who are underprivileged, they can actually go to charity crowdfunding. I can't name all of them, but I know one of them, which FM is collaborating with. It's called Gift10. It's crowdfunding for the needy. They actually started in April 2020 to help people, because March 2020 is when our pandemic starts and our lockdown. So it started by 5 compassionate individuals. Basically, you must be genuine. They were vet through. They have very stringent vetting to make sure that it's a genuine case. And then what happens is they will raise funds. It's called Gift10. It's because all people need to do, if you want to participate, you just pay 10 ringgit. If you want to pay more, you can. I actually started by being a contributor. That's how I came to know about Gift10. Then over time, one of the co-founders asked whether FM would collaborate. So in September 2021, an MOU was signed between Gift10 and FM to start a pilot program to provide a one-hour complimentary advice to either individuals or families who receive crowdfunding. The advice is only 1 hour, is valued at 300 ringgit, but it's no cost to the beneficiaries. Why? Because we realize that when these beneficiaries receive this sum of money, they must also know how to use it wisely. So the cost of the advice is equally shared between FM and voluntary licensed financial planners. Main thing is to help fellow Malaysians who are in dire condition. So it's a case of Peter Jaga Peter. So that would take care of the individuals who have fallen into a dire strait. And for SMEs, there are also avenues if, let's say, the bank says no and you only need short-term lending. There's what they call a P2P lending. One of the ones that I'm more familiar with, because I had this conversation with this guy named Vincent. He has money saved in Dun Bahad. And how does it work is basically, if you have a going concern, your company is not blacklisted, you have a bank statement to prove, you have proper accounting P&L, they can offer lending up to 1 year. Rate is higher than what you would get from the bank. It's between 1.2% to 1.5%. But most of the P2P lending organizations, they should be registered with Securities Commission. So you can actually check at an SC website to make sure that they're genuine. If they're not, please don't sign anything, as I say. So these are some of the avenues that you can get to help yourself before you reach the point where you know, you start panicking already. I hope that's helpful, Lynn.
Very. Lynnett, thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome.
That was you too. That was Lynnett Lee, CEO of FPAM. And if you are interested in that crowdfunding platform that she mentioned, that is gift10.love. In the meantime, keep those thoughts coming. You can call us, WhatsApp us, tweet us. You've been listening to Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.